Morning, guys. How are you doing? All right. Yeah, great to be up and at them this morning. Loving camp so far, guys. Loving teen scene. I hope you're enjoying it too. I'm having a great time. Although I did get brought back down to earth with a severe bump this morning as Steve absolutely shamed me in table tennis. I was playing left-handed, and I wasn't. That's the worst thing. I was actually playing my best. Although it's the first time I haven't done any sport since teen scene 2 years ago, I don't think. I put on about 2 stone. I realised that teen scene 2 years ago was the last time I played football and the last time I played tennis, which is incredible. So I'm going to try and do both of those again this year, just for old time's sake. So you might not have a speaker tomorrow night after the football match. I will almost certainly have pulled something. So, but, you know, I'll just be a super sub, get 3 minutes of fame and an ambulance, probably. So there we go. I'm loving it. Looking at the butts in the Bible again this morning. Hope you're happy about that. Yesterday we looked at the butt in Genesis, Joseph's butt. And this morning we're looking at a butt in the book of 1 Samuel, an absolute legend in the Bible, a hero really. His name's David, or Dyers, his mates called him, because obviously one of the Bibles written in Wales. And so so King Dyboy, because he had sheep as well, didn't he? Can't tell me the brother's not Welsh, do you know what I mean? So King David the shepherd boy, Dyo, but that's who we're going to look at this morning. I'm conscious that last night on, I'll be honest with you, last night felt like it should have been the last night on camp to me. I was loving God so much. He spoke so powerfully to so many people. I was thinking, what do we do next then? Because normally that happens on Friday. Then you all got to pack your bags and go home and like work it out. We got another 4 days. I'm thinking, how's that going to work? But I know for a lot of you, like you, last night you were doing business with God. You were dealing with him, but you know that you've got to go back to the real world soon. And when you get back to the real world, where there's not like a room full of people worshiping Jesus, where there's not all the kind of like just Jesus focusedness, if that's a word, focusedness, I don't think it is, but it is now, all that going on in your life, it's not, is it? And you're going back to situations. I reckon some of you are probably, you're loving camp, but in the back of your mind, you're thinking, I really want to do it right with God this time. I want to go for it with him, but I'm going to go back to stuff which is just, it's going to be hard to go back to. There's going to be giants in the land waiting for me when I go back. We all got our own giants. That's the point. We all got things, people, situations, circumstances that we face in our life that are just a little bit scary, a little bit daunting, that we can't just sort of like strut past or get through. But actually, whatever that is with you, I don't know what it would be, but I know that there's things in your life, things waiting for you when you go back home. You're a bit like, is it your mates? Is it your family? I don't know. We're going to look at a guy. And I love this. I love this story so much. You must know this story, David, the ninja, and Goliath. You must know this story. It's just rock and roll. Let me just set the scene for you because this is just mint. I just love this. Let me tell you what happens. Then we'll look at our butt, right? Here's what's happened. You got like all God's people, Israel. They've gone into the promised land, okay? They've gone into the promised land, but all their next door neighbors are just nuts. Like, they're just like, it's like having all your neighbors just horrible. No one likes you. And there's a bunch of them called Philistines, right? Because they were all called Phil. No, they weren't. But they were Philistines. And like, that was a nation called, it's a Philistine or something, or Philistia or something like that. But they're all called Philistines anyway, they're in the Bible. And there's a bunch of Philistines. They say, well, we're going to go and kick Israel's butt because we don't like them. They're like, you know, they literally were neighbors from hell, right? So they all line up on one side of the valley and the Israelites all line up on the other side of the valley. And they're having one of those sort of like standoffs. You see them in the school playground all the time, don't you? Oh, touch me. Oh, touch me. Is it? Oh, hold me back, boys. No, hold me back, boys. And then no one ever touches anyone. They all sort of puff their chests up. And they'll go home feeling a bit harder than they went to school. Well, this is like one of those things where there's two armies either side of a valley. Then obviously at the bottom of the valley, that's where all the ruckus takes place. But there's this massive giant called Goliath. I'm talking, he's a freak. I mean, he would be like on telly as like, you know, just this freak. He's about 9 foot tall. He's built like an ox. And like, he just steps out in front of all the Israelites, all of God's people. And he says, look, I'll make it easy for you, right? Let's not all just die today, because you're going to lose, by the way. I'm a champion of the Philistines. Send me your hardest soldier, your hardest guy. He can come and take me on. Winner takes all. If I lose, we'll be your servants. If you lose, you'll be our servants. Deal? Now, bear in mind, okay? Bear in mind that this is God's people that he's talking to. This is God's people. And this joker shouldn't have bothered them at all. But look what happens. This is really interesting. It says that when Saul, he was the king, and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They looked at the size of this bloke. And in fairness, it does say, right, check it out. It's nuts. It says, His name was Goliath of Gath, so, you know, or Gog for short, I guess. Oh, Gogsy, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, which means loads to you, doesn't it? It just means he was chuffy huge, right? That's what it means. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, because that's the logical place to put your helmet of bronze, I imagine. And he was armed with a coat of mail, not the sort you get from a postman. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze, which was chuffing heavy. That's basically the point. And he had bronze armor on his legs. On his legs. Go on, boy. He must have strong legs. And a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. Like, not just some little jippo, like, you know, aluminium javelin from the Olympics, bruv. Bronze thing, which if you'd be like, if you slung that behind your shoulders, you'd be like, you'd just be like on the floor. Some monstrous like bronze javelin on his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. It's like some monster spear, bruv, like, you know, bigger than your leg. Like, he's just holding his spear like this. And he's, you can just imagine that he's just got like the most hard voice in the world. He's not like, come on, have a go if you think you're hard enough. He's not doing that. He's like, he's not like that. He's not like that kid. Do you know what I mean? The one that winds all the other boys up and then like runs off when the fight starts. He's like, come on! Like, I know, he's like, he's had a beard since he was 3. This guy's just, you know what I mean? Now, at this point in the story, I just got to say to you, right, one word. Like, which, if they just like, if the Israelites had thought this one word, none of this story would have happened, right? And it's a simple word. Sniper. Isn't it? Why didn't they chuck a ninja in some hedge and take a cheap shot from behind, like, when he was mouthing off? That's what I would have done. Little bow and arrow. Got him. Game over. But nah, no sniper. So, like, instead, everyone's, like, bricking themselves, thinking this bloke's way too hard for us. This situation's way too difficult for us. We can't do what we need to do. We're going to lose. We're going to fail. And some of you are thinking, I'm loving God right now. I'm going to go home, and I know I'm going to fail. That's what you're thinking. And then steps up. Die Boy Shepherd, winner, legend, boy with a bag of cheese. I'm not even joking. He's got a bag of cheese. Check this out. I love this. This is a little kid with a bag of cheese. He's got his baby bells. Look at this, right? He pops it. I'm not even joking. Listen to this, right? You gotta love the Bible. They've even got cheese in stories like this. You never knew cheese was in Goliath, did you? Here we are. All right. David was the youngest. The three eldest followed Saul. That's his three oldest brothers. David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem because he was a sheepy boy, like I said. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward and took his stand, blah, blah, blah. Verse 17 of 1 Samuel 17. And Jesse, that's his dad's name. I bet you got picked on for that name. Imagine saying that, yeah. Jesse.
Yes, sir.
Jesse said to David, his son. That's why he had so many sons. Protection. Yeah. Jesse said to David, his son, take for your brothers an ephah of this parched grain, which you all want for dinner today. Can you say, can I have an ephah of parched grain, please? You know, Col, Sweeney Col, and he'll sort you out. And these 10 loaves, and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. Check this out, verse 18. I love this verse, in the middle of David and Goliath, verse 18. Also, take these 10 cheeses to the commander. I love it. So you got David, he's got his parched grain, a loaf of bread, and a bag of cheese going... Good day in the field with the sheep. And it describes David. This is why I love this story for you guys, right? Because he wasn't no, like, monstrous man mountain. He wasn't a bodybuilder. He didn't have a pair of, like, little pink Speedos and, like, oil his chest down going. He wasn't like that. Check out how he describes him. I love this. And this is why I use old school versions of the Bible. Because if I had the message, it would just say he was a young bloke or something. But check out how the old school versions say. It said the Philistine, that's Goliath, looked at him and didn't and wasn't particularly impressed. For he was a youth, ruddy and handsome. He was ruddy. And is anyone here ruddy? You don't even know, do you? You don't even know what ruddy means. It's not Yorkshire. It's not ruddy handsome. It's not what it's saying. What it means, right? It means that he didn't have stubble. He had bum fluff. That's what it means. The boy can't even shave. The boy's just a little kid. He's walking down with his little bag of cheese. His big brothers are in the army. He's not old enough to sign up yet. He's still on cheese duty. But let me tell you what. Let me tell you about David. David loved God. So sack his age, sack his bum fluff, forget all that. He loved God. And when this jumped up Philistine steps up and says, you are not nothing, or like, that's not very good English, sorry. I meant to be, I would have said that in Trevethan and got away with it, but not here, not with you people. You aren't anything. Your God is nothing. You're going to fail. You're going to fall. I'm stronger than you. He saw that as an insult to God himself. And he's like, and he walks up this bag of cheese. And this is what happens in slow motion. He's got his little bag of cheese, right? His bag of cheese. And he sees this giant, and he hears this, and he's like, is it? Is it? Nah, bruv. That is the message, right? And so he basically says, why didn't someone take this joker out? And everyone's like, look at him, he's huge. And he starts spouting off again. It says they run away from him again. He's like, no way, he's dissing God. I'll have him. And King Saul, who was meant to be like, you know, he's a big bloke, King Saul. He's a bit of a, you know, boy himself, like. Can handle himself. He goes, well, look, you can have my sword, you can have my shield, you can have my spear, just take it out, just go and kill it for me, David, will you? I can see the way you handle your cheese, you're strong, you're strong. Serious. You have that cheese with power and meaning, purpose. And so King Saul gives David his armor, right? And David can't even wear his armor. Because do you know what? If you're going to go and stand in this world that wants you to fall, you don't fight this world with this world's tactics. If you want to see your friends who are smoking drugs, one for Christ, don't go and smoke a spliff with them and think you can tell them about Jesus. If you think you can go and do what they're doing and join them and just do all, you know, and just live that life and fight their way, and that somehow you're going to give glory to God and win victory in their life, you're not. You're going to fall. And David's like, I don't need armor. I don't need a sword. I don't need any of that, because do you know what? I'll tell you who I need. Let's put this scripture up. This is what he says, right? First of all, I'll tell you what Goliath says. It's really funny. So this ruddy handsome lad steps up to him, right? He's dropped his cheese by now. He's picked up his little sling, like a little leather pouch, a couple of pebbles from the brook. You've already heard the story, haven't you? Five smooth pebbles. They have to be smooth, right? Little smooth pebbles because they fly better, right? And he picks up his thing, sticks them in his pocket. And it says, the Philistine says to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And David's like, you're going down. Like that. And so it's brilliant. And so the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine says, look. What's up? That wasn't the Philistine. At least I hope it wasn't. The Philistine cursed David out. He starts mocking him. He starts dissing him. He says, look, you and your God, you're nothing. And you lot are going to go back to schools and families and situations where they don't know your God. They don't understand why you worship like they do. They think you're a lunatic. They think these camps are stupid. They don't understand you. And they just think that you're just a joke. And David didn't take a look at his giant. Because this is the thing, guys. If you focus on your giant, you will fail. If you try and fight fire with your giant, you will fail. But if you listen to what David says, check it out. Then David said to the Philistine, this huge guy, that in any other situation, he did not stand a hope of getting past him or doing him over. David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. But, that's our but, in big pink. There are but. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And he goes on to say, so I'm going to sort you out, chop off your head, and we're all going home with just you losing. That's how it goes down. Look at what he says. He says, look, all right, you got a sword, and it's big. You got a spear, and it's long and fat. You got a javelin, and you can chuck it for miles. You're harder than me. You're stronger than me. But I come in the name of the Lord of hosts. Do you know what the hosts are? It's the universe. Because David didn't look at Goliath, who looked massive. He looked at God, who holds the universe in the palm of his hand. He goes, you think you're hard? Serious. I love this. Like in Revelation, like I just got to read this. Revelation chapter 1. Because Revelation is just awesome. And there's an amazing bit in Revelation chapter 1 where it describes what Jesus in heaven is actually like. See, we think Jesus is just the little, you know, carpenter from Galilee that died on a cross. But nah, this is who Jesus is right now. You know who we've just been singing to and singing about just now? Jesus. He's not hanging on a cross anymore. Do you realize that? That's over. He's not on this earth anymore. He rose again. He went back to his Father. This is what he looks like. This is who we need to have confidence in when we go back home, guys. John saw him and he said, I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven gold lampstands. In the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. He's blinged up. The hairs of his head were like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. Bruv, you wouldn't want him looking at you too close, would you? His feet were like burnished bronze, so anyone he gives a kick into, they get a kick in. Refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. Check this out. In his right hand, he held 7 stars. In his right hand. Anyone who's got hands big enough to just hold 7 stars, I don't care how big your javelin is, bruv, how big your sword is, you ain't nothing on God. In his other hand, the Bible says later on in Revelation, he's got an iron bar. I mean, this is Jesus, guys. This is a King of glory. This is who we worship and serve. Jesus, glorious, blinged out, awesome, holy, flaming eyes, bronze feet, fistful of stars, iron bar, bloodstained robe. Come on! That's who David worships. I want to encourage you that for the rest of this week, don't be panicking about going back. Be realistic about what's going to confront you when you go back. But don't think that you've got to try and win strategically, that you have to be some sort of like, you know, stealth Christian, stealth evangelist. Just don't even fix your eyes on the habits that you struggle with. Don't even fix your eyes on all that stuff, all those friends that want to drag you down. Make sure you keep your eyes fixed on the Lord of hosts, the one who created the universe, the one who has named and numbered every single star in existence, the one who is just in complete control of it all. Guys, if you love him, if you focus on him, if you serve him, all of a sudden your giant becomes a little Lego man, because he is not a giant next to our Lord. Do you believe that? You know what happens next in the story, don't you? David picks up a stone, first shot. It always makes me laugh. He picked up 5 stones. It makes me feel like perhaps he is a human after all. So maybe he thought, well, I might not get him first time, but I'll get him in the end. He picked up 5 stones, first shot. Poof. Pebble between the forehead. He hits the deck. And David picks up this giant sword, some monstrous bit of kit. Picks up his head. And he picks up his head to say to you, your God is bigger and better and stronger and more powerful than anything that's going to come against you. Guys, if God is for us, who can be against us? We've got giants. You've got giants. I don't know what those giants are, but your God is bigger. Your God is stronger, and he is for you. Let's pray. God, thank you that David, just as young as he was and as inexperienced as he was, and with all his just like, he just wasn't the hardest bloke in the land, but he had a faith in an awesome God. And he won a great victory because God guided his heart and God guided his steps and God guided his hand. Lord, make us like David, I pray. We all have got these giants that we're facing and that we're going to face. Lord, don't let the giants cause us to tremble and fear and run from you. Rather, Lord, help us lift our eyes higher than the giant's head to the hosts, to the Lord of hosts. Let us put our faith in him. Would you do wonderful things in our lives? May the giants that have been destroying us for so long, we've been battling with for so long, can we see them come tumbling down in the name of Jesus? Amen.